Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. And a beautiful Shabbat it is. I just want to talk with you briefly about Jethro and his relationship with Moses, you know, with the father-in-law and the son-in-law. And it's really an amazing thing that occurs in our Parsha, and we learn a great lesson from it, which I'll distill for you. But here you have this priest of Midian. Now, keep in mind, my view and the view of some significant thinkers is that Mount Sinai is not the traditional Abu Musa, which is in the Sinai desert. Probably not, and there's a lot of reasons for that, which we won't get into. But a much more probable location would be northeast Saudi Arabia, and that's where Midian is. And so Jethro comes and brings Moses' wife, who had been staying with him during the tumultuous time of the Exodus and all, and he comes, and Jethro is likely a priest. Well, we know he's a priest of Midian, and the god most likely at the center of his religious system would be the moon god. And because in northeast Midian, we know archaeologically and we know from different sources that the moon god was worshipped there. And so he had been a pagan priest, and he shows up and he watches Moses. Now Moses, here's the situation. Moses, imagine. It's Moses in his tent. He's by himself. His wife wasn't there at this time. 7 o'clock in the morning, and Joshua bangs on the tent and says, Moses, get up. What? Moses, we have 3 ox gorings, 2 domestic abuse cases, a divorce case, and a huge argument about some property which was brought from Egypt. What? You got to get up and adjudicate these things. Okay. So Moses throws some water on his face, and he goes out, and all day long he's working adjudicating these cases among a huge number of people who had left Egypt, and people are people, and they're going to get in fights, and it's just the way it is. And so he's adjudicating all these cases. And he gets home 6 o'clock at night, and he's absolutely exhausted. He has a lamb chop and immediately hits the sack until the next day. And, you know, we're cute in a way, but really this is the situation. And Jethro shows up. Yethro is how we pronounce it. There's no J in Hebrew. Yethro shows up, and he observes this, and he's got his daughter-in-law and the two boys there, and he screws up his courage, and I think it was a courageous act. I think it took some guts to do this. And he says to Moses, look, Moses, the thing you're doing is not good. It's not good. You're exhausting yourself. And although it doesn't say it in the text, we can imagine that an exhausted, frustrated judge who works too hard is not going to hand down the best deliberations too. So Yethro risks perhaps the shame of being rebuffed by Moses. You know, that could have been, and this is a shame honor oriented culture, could have been part of the mix, the emotional mix here. But he decides that for the sake of Moses, and for the sake of his daughter-in-law, for his sake of his daughter and the kids and whatever are the motivations, he talks to Moses and says this. Now, Moses is the big shot, and he's been viewing himself as a one-man judicial and educational system, and he has been bearing all this, and he could have reacted negatively out of pride and arrogance. Who do you think you are? You worship the moon, something God created, and you're telling me? But Yethro, of course, says to Moses during the dialogue that, you know, I've seen what God has done for you. And according to rabbinic tradition, there were 3 things that he saw that were so impressive: the exodus from Egypt and the beating of the Amalek, you know, and another thing that he saw that really indicated that, and the giving of the Ten Commandments. So all of this apparently happens after. And so Moses, who is a big shot, and nonetheless, this father-in-law comes, and Moses says, you know, you're really right. Why didn't I think of that? You're really right. This is not good. I'm going to take your advice. And we heard Mark and others read it this morning, that I am going to make judges over cases that are lower than the Supreme Court. I'll be the Supreme Court, but over the Elefim, Translated thousands may have a different connotation linguistically, but you know, the biggest group, and then hundreds and fifties and tens, and that way there'll be a series of courts that people can appeal to, and I won't get exhausted. Now, I don't want to develop this too much further, except to say this. I see a lesson here. I see a number of lessons, but one in particular that I want to point out to you. And that is, you know, if pagan priests can contribute to the Torah and have a parsha named after them, right? You know, the parsha this week is named Yitro, and help guide Moses' entire mission, how much more can we expect others to help shape our self-understanding, our worldview, our ways forward in life? And that's the lesson. The lesson is, if it's good enough for Moses to listen to the advice of somebody, we need to cultivate that quality in ourselves as well. Because success in life is not just imagining you can do it on your own and not absolutizing your own opinions about anything, although you'll hold certain opinions very strongly, and that's appropriate. But in a community, it's very important that we cultivate the ability to be able to hear from others who say, in a nice way, and Yitro did it in a nice way. He did it with great respect, you know, that's quite obvious. Yitro certainly had shown that he understood where Moses was coming from, and Yitro, although he goes home to be with his people, I'm not sure he was a convert. I think that he saw what the God of Israel had did, but he went home, and I'm not sure if he went to the first Messianic Jewish synagogue of Midian. I don't know how that worked back then. You know, there's different ways of imagining what his life was like after, but clearly he recognizes that the God of Israel is the real God, and what he does with that, I don't know. All of that parenthetical. What I'm trying to say is this. He comes respectfully. He comes the right way, but he comes with a major exhortation to Moses. And I just want to encourage all of us, if we're going to have a successful community for 10 years, 20 years, 30, 50, 100, until Yeshua comes back, I want to encourage us all to just say a yes inside, even right now, that when someone comes sympathetically, someone comes honestly, takes the risk to be able to come to you and say, listen, I think you really need to get, you might be do better if you would do such and such, then don't shut them down out of defensiveness, but out of the security that we have in Yeshua as those who are brought into, even more deeply into God's family, if you will. Maybe that's one way of saying it. Those of us who have been forgiven through that death and resurrection of the Mashiach, those of us who are in relationship with God deeply and profoundly already, don't be defensive and just be willing to say, thanks, I needed that. Thanks, I needed that. And so I leave you with that important thought. Thanks, I needed that. We all do. Shabbat Shalom.